The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 14th chapter. Philip said to Jesus, "Lord, show us the Father, and we will be satisfied." Jesus said to him, "Have I been with you all this time, Philip, and you still do not know me? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, 'Show us the Father'? Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own, but the Father who dwells in me does his work. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. But if you do not, then believe me because of the works themselves. Very truly I tell you, the one who believes in me will also do the works that I do, and in fact will do greater works than these, because I am going to the Father. I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If in my name you ask me for anything, I will do it. If you love me, you will keep my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to be with you forever. This is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him because he abides with you and he will be in you. I have said these things to you while I am still with you, but the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you everything and remind you of all that I have said to you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. I do not give as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not let them be afraid." The Gospel of the Lord. Brothers and sisters in Christ, grace to you and peace from God the Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Signed, sealed, and delivered. That's kind of what the Pentecost celebration is all about. Jesus, after the resurrection, told the disciples to go to Jerusalem and wait. Wait. They didn't know what was coming. Jesus promised them an advocate, someone to walk alongside them, and they had no idea. But they knew that God was always good on God's promises. And God had made many promises previously, all of the covenants of the Old Testament. Covenants. Those things that are signed, sealed, and delivered. And then the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit came among the disciples, the sound of a mighty rushing wind, and tongues like flames over their heads, and each of the disciples was able to speak to this eclectic group of people from all over the world. And each of them heard in their own language. One of my friends brought up the thought, you know, we think often about what it must have been like to have been a disciple there and to be speaking and people understand in different languages. But imagine the poor guy from hundreds of miles away from a completely different culture who just happened to be in Jerusalem that day, who had to go home and explain that experience. Well, see, I was at Jerusalem and I was just minding my own business, and then all of a sudden somebody started speaking to me my language, and then they had flames on their head, and oh, never mind, you had to be there. And I think maybe sometimes that's how we feel as Christians when we hear this Pentecost story. Like, wow, it's an amazing story, but I guess you had to be there. because we don't often see those kinds of amazing events. But today, the good news for us is we didn't have to be there on that first Pentecost to experience the amazing nature of God. Luke just experienced the amazing nature of God this morning, as all baptized Christians have. Do you remember that part in the service where we say you are sealed by the Holy Spirit, marked with the cross of Christ forever, delivered from the powers of sin, death, and the devil? In baptism, we are connected to that same Holy Spirit that those early disciples were connected to. And the miracle of Pentecost, I think, wasn't so much that the disciples were able to speak in tongues, although some people do, and some people see that as a sign of the Holy Spirit. That's not the only sign. Remember when Paul was talking about spiritual gifts, the gifts of the Holy Spirit? He said the greatest of all these gifts. I could speak in tongues, but wouldn't matter at all if I didn't have love. 1 Corinthians 13. Read it again. It's a great Pentecost text. I wish it was one of the lessons on Pentecost. The greatest of these is love. I think the great miracle of Pentecost was not that the disciples were able to speak in different languages, but that each heard in their own language. That means God came to them where they were, who they were. They didn't have to learn ancient Hebrew. They didn't have to know ancient Greek or Latin, or Arabic. They didn't have to know any certain liturgical orders or when to stand or sit. God came to them where they were and opened up to them the good news of Jesus. Signed, sealed, and delivered. There's three other words that we Lutherans tend to use when it comes to the Holy Spirit. We talk about called, gathered, and enlightened as the works of the Spirit. Called, gathered, and enlightened. What does the Spirit do? The Spirit brings people together for God's purposes. Remember that story about the Tower of Babel in the Old Testament? God said, those humans, they're working together. We got to stop this nonsense. And God split up all the languages? Well, that's because it was humans working on human endeavors. But when God wants to bring something together, God makes it happen. Calls, gathers, and enlightens. Being enlightened is that time when you experience that thought, oh, I never thought of that, or I never thought of it that way. When you're thinking about God and God's things and how big God is and how universal God is, oh, I never thought of it that way before. Or when you have an experience and you look back on it, and you go, oh, I think God's hand was in that. You've had those experiences. I encourage people to keep prayer journals, because sometimes our lives just keep going, and one foot in front of the other, and sometimes we don't pause to notice where God's been. You know, those things we pray, and Once our prayer is answered, we kind of forget about it and keep going to the next thing that we pray for. We had an example of that I just thought of yesterday afternoon as Betty was in here practicing and I was doing a little work in my office. And she was practicing the first hymn for this morning, Spirit of Gentleness. And think about the Spirit's work. See, most of you know that before I came to First Lutheran, I was without call. And it was more than a year. And I wasn't sure what God had in mind for me next. I just held on that God is good and God knows what God's doing. But during that time, I spent a full year working at Office Max, which is kind of the equivalent to Staples, which most of you look like you work at Staples this morning, by the way. It's not a bad thing. I just thought of that. But while I worked at Office Max, and those of you who have worked retail as an adult, or even as a teenager, know that this is not a fun way to earn a living, or to be dependent on minimum wage. But as I worked at Office Max, there was another woman who worked there, who was also ordained between calls. She was from the United Church of Christ. And so between us, we had like 5 master's degrees. And it was a sign of the economy, but there was quite a bit of other former upper management work and minimum wage there. But we clicked, and we supported each other, and we became friends. And she's gone off now into a career of counseling and writing. But just before we moved here, I was invited to her wedding. She met a remarkable man. It was a very small wedding, though, and it was actually in a machine shed on his farm. Nothing fancy. There were about 30 guests in all at the most. And as she's walking down the aisle that they've created, the person she's walking down the aisle on the arm of is Jim Manley, who is one of my all-time favorite hymn composers, who wrote Spirit of Gentleness. He'd been one of her mentors since she had been very young. So I'm sitting at this wedding just thinking about all the remarkable coincidences and thinking about coming to Galesburg and all the things that God had to put together in order for us all to be together here today. And I just think God is so remarkable. So remarkable. I wouldn't have thought to introduce myself to those people. I wouldn't have known where they were. I wouldn't have thought to introduce myself to you people. I didn't know who you were. But the Holy Spirit calls, gathers, and enlightens, brings us together. One other little story about that kind of gathering. So a pastor named Wayne Reese, who's a United Methodist pastor from Texas, and he was saying early in his ministry, he had a four-point parish in Texas. So those 4 points are quite a ways from each other. And the day before Easter, he had a sermon all written, and he was out driving, making some visitations, and thought he had things all wrapped up. You know, his Easter sermon was all, you know, had all the right authors attributed, and you know, he was pretty proud of it. It was pretty scholarly. And had it all right, all set. And while he's driving and feeling pretty smart, pretty proud of himself, he realizes that he hasn't put gas in his tank for a long time. He runs out of gas. And he's out in the middle of nowhere. And so he starts walking. And comes upon this, literally, Texas Roadhouse. And this is years before Texas Roadhouse became a chain. And he sees this line of motorcyclists. And with a little bit of fear and trepidation, he goes in. He's thinking, oh, I don't know what I'm going to come across here. He goes in, and they're all playing pool. He comes in and introduces himself. I'm out of gas. They're having a little sport with him. I said, well, how about we play some pool for it? And he's not sure. And he hasn't played pool for many years, like since he was a young man. He says, okay. And they wrap him up. And he gets the first shot and sends three balls flying into the corners. And turns out, he ends up clearing the table, leaves the eight ball out, clears the rest of the table. And so they call him Pastor Shark. And he said, I really need to get home. I need that gas. I have to, tomorrow's Easter. And one of the guys says, well, what's Easter? And some of the other guys snickered at him. He said, no, really, I need to know what Easter is. I've never been in a church, but I've heard the word. What is Easter? So Pastor Reese starts to tell him. He says, well, there was this man that lived a long time ago. And he started telling people about God. And God is a God of mercy and justice and love. And he reached out to everybody. Didn't care who they were. And he had all sorts of people following him. But then one day the authorities got a hold of him and hung him up on a tree, killed him. But 3 days later, he rose again from the dead and sent his spirit so that all people might believe in him. And the biker's like, wow, I've never heard that story. That's amazing. So they put him on the back of one of their bikes, get a can and siphon some gas off in some place, and get him on the road again. He goes home and rewrites his whole sermon, realizing that the scholarly thing is not what his parish needed that morning, not on Easter Sunday. So he rewrote his sermon and went to his first preaching point and preached, and they received it very well. He got a little more courage, and next one and the next one. He got to his fourth point. He's just starting the service. And in walk seven bikers, all dressed in their black leathers. And his church wasn't used to having visitors. So one of the ushers said, can I help you? And the one biker who'd asked the question in the first place said, well, I came back because I want to hear about Easter again. I want to hear more about Jesus. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. We keep coming back week after week because the news is so good. God's abundant love and mercy and ability to meet us where we are is astonishing. That's the work of the Spirit, who calls, gathers, and enlightens. Remember that you are part of the promise. You're people of the promise. You hold the promise. You share the promise. You live the promise. We are all signed, sealed, and delivered. Amen.